Hi guys, it's Chris. I know, two disclaimers, 2 weeks in a row, turning into Todd Glass with these intros, but I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. For starters, I was originally working on a Halloween special that proved to be a little too elaborate. Like, by the time I buckled down and started to put it all together, I realized I only had a week before the episode would have to go up. There just wasn't enough time to do it justice. So I'll finish it at some point, maybe for one of next October's episodes, maybe sooner, who knows. So anyways, it seemed like Donna and Carlos weren't super into the idea of doing another Halloween-themed episode, but they said if I wanted to throw something together as a bonus for you guys, that I should. So that's what this is, just a one-off that's, pretty different from a typical episode. My wife had never seen any of the Child's Play movies, so I got her to watch all six of them. And I thought it would be fun to sit down and compare the thoughts of somebody who grew up with these films and someone who was brand new to them. So that's what you're going to hear. The format is pretty different, and even the tone of this is it's a little more serious than a usual episode, which is so goofy to me, but that's just how it worked out. I mean, we do poke fun at the movies and we get a little bit silly, but overall, I was really surprised how seriously Kristen took her analysis of these movies, which is kind of hilarious in its own way. So you're probably going to get more out of this if you've seen most of these. It might jump around a little too much if you haven't. I don't know. But we do spoil the shit out of them, so beware of that, including the brand new one that like just came out. So if you haven't seen Curse of Chucky yet and you're planning on it, you might want to skip the last 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, we also had to record in kind of an echoey room. I apologize for that. But yeah, I mentioned this in the show too, but just in case, since this is a bonus episode, we're still on our regular schedule. You don't have to wait 2 weeks for the next one. Donna, Carlos, and I will be back next Friday with the usual format and all of that. But yeah, happy Halloween and enjoy this retrospective of the Child's Play series. Hey, do you remember the Child's Play series? Hello, and welcome to Hey Do You Remember, a show where we reminisce about a movie or TV series we grew up with, then take off the rose-tinted glasses to see how it holds up today. This is our third and final Halloween-themed episode, and we're closing things out with a retrospective of the Child's Play franchise. So first things first, it turns out my regular co-hosts Donna and Carlos aren't really into horror movies. So when I mentioned that I really wanted to put out a bonus episode the week of Halloween, they were sort of like, "Yeah, you should do that. You should do that alone, because we're not sitting through garbage." But I really wanted to introduce them to like something they'd never seen before, but I thought, thought that'd be fun. Maybe next year. We'll see. But yes, like I said, this is a bonus episode, so we're still on our normal schedule. You don't have to wait 2 weeks for the next one. The regular gang, we'll all be back next Friday. In the meantime, let's say hello to the poor sucker that I did convince to join me. Hello, Kristen.
Hi.
Now, you had never seen any of these films.
No, I'd heard of them. I'd never seen them before.
So, and that's sort of a running joke, the fact that you've never seen anything.
Right.
But this still, it was like, I was still surprised because you'd think like just bits and pieces here and there.
Never caught them on TV.
Or especially Bride of Chucky, because that was pretty popular when we were in high school, and that seemed to be the one that had the most crossover appeal. Like people that weren't really into the other Child's Play movies or had never even seen the Child's Play movies, like those people, a lot of those people still went, saw, and kind of loved Bride of Chucky.
I feel like that's when the franchise came on my radar. I remember being at Kintera, a movie theater, and seeing a big display for Bride of Chucky and laughing at it.
The one that was like a knockoff of the Scream 2 poster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And laughing at it. I was aware of the Chucky character before, but didn't really pay attention. In fact, I did not know it was called Child's Play.
Oh no. Wait,
Yeah.
what when did were you when did you figure out that wasn't the case?
Probably this week.
No!
Yeah! Because it's just Chucky. Like, I know of the character Chucky.
Oh my gosh.
And I know of the movie Bride of Chucky.
Okay.
I never heard of Seed of Chucky, never heard of Curse of Chucky.
So, alright. Okay, but you said you were aware of Chucky prior to...
Like, I knew that character existed. Like, if you would show me a picture of that creeped out doll, I'd be like, oh, that's Chucky.
But you didn't know. So when Bride of Chucky came out, you knew it was a sequel.
Yes.
Okay. And you just thought the other movies were blank of Chucky?
Just Chucky 1, 2, 3.
Chucky 2! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about how this started, because we watched them a little out of order. Not totally, just we watched the last one first. Because Curse of Chucky, which is the one that just came out, I wanted to rent it. You sat through it with me. and then watching that kind of made me want to go back and look at some of the others. And then I had the idea of doing this whole retrospective of the whole series. But anyways, let's talk about our memories of these films. Like, I know even though you didn't watch these as a kid, you said you were aware of them. So your impressions of the series, like, outside looking in, did you think it was stupid? Did you think it was silly? Did you still think Chucky was scary? Was there, like, a reason you avoided the movies?
No. And it's just really weird that, like, most horror movies I feel like I originally became aware of was when they were reruns on TV. Like, oh, it's Halloween and the original Halloween movie is on. Let's watch that.
Yeah.
Or Friday the 13th is on TV. But yeah, I don't really know how I became aware of Chucky, like, just as knowing that he was out there. I know that, like, he might be on TV introducing, like, a marathon of something.
The Chucky doll?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I mean, I just know that because I was aware of him years before I finally saw any of the movies either. And so I mean, it's part of the zeitgeist. It's just out there. I understand you're aware, even if you're not. Or, I mean, in my case, your parents saying, like, absolutely not. We're not renting that.
Oh, but, yeah.
So I'm thinking of, like, my memories of Child's Play, and what I remembered this week as we were talking about doing this, and I'm thinking back to how I was exposed to all these things. Same thing. I was aware of Chucky, wasn't allowed to watch the movies. That, of course, makes it, you know, 100 times more intriguing.
Yeah.
Just the stuff your parents don't want you to do. You're like, well, I'm seeking that out the first chance I get.
Absolutely.
So, and I really thought I was being smart about this, because not allowed to rent Child's Play, but if it were to pop up on television, so I thought, I'm just going to turn the volume down on it real low. I'm going to sit real close to the TV. I'm right there. I'm ready to change the channel if they do walk into the room. And I thought, man, this is great. Finally going to see Child's Play. So excited for this. So it starts, and I watched the first couple minutes of it where it's him running from the cops. Lots of sound effects, lots of screaming and grunting and da-da-da-da-da. And then they start talking. And I realize I am watching a Spanish TV station.
Oh, no.
And I was crushed.
Oh.
And I gave it a couple of minutes. And I thought, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can make it through this. And then I thought, you know what? I'm really just ruining a future great experience. And then so... the way I eventually started to get around the movies I wasn't allowed to see was when we'd spend the weekend at Grandma and Grandpa's.
You're so mean.
And my grandma was so accommodating of just like, you want junk food? Here's a whole pantry full. You want toys? Let's go to the mall. They got a lot of toys over there. You want to rent a movie? Sure. This is reasonable. So at all the R-rated movies, I had this like list built up in my mind, like Terminator 2, and just all these movies I wasn't allowed to watch. Just start crossing them off the list. And so one weekend it was Child's Play. And that was the first time I saw it was at my grandma's.
And how old were you?
Probably 10 or 11. And I remember the first movie not being exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I'll get into that more when we actually talk about that movie specifically. But still thought it was really creepy. There were shots in there that have stuck with me my whole life. The shot of like when Andy is locked up
in the mental hospital.
And he peeks out the window and sees Chucky going up the stairwell of the building. You know, that stuff like
good
that.
Shot, yeah.
That stuck with me. I thought that really, really scared the hell out of me. But I mean, here's the thing. Like, so I know they're not great movies, and that's never been more apparent to me than having to watch them back to back to back to back to back.
Two in one day.
Which you probably shouldn't do. And this isn't even... when I think of you know, the iconic horror franchises that I grew up with. I was way more into Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. But the thing about Child's Play, I think of it like fast food. Like sometimes I've got a craving for Burger King and it really hits the spot. But I've never been under any delusions that like, I've never had it and thought to myself, oh, that was a really good meal.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's cheap, it's greasy, you know, too much of it is bad for you. But sometimes you just want it and it satisfies you just in a totally different way.
Absolutely.
And so that's how I feel about a lot of horror movies, actually. It's like when, you know, when people who aren't into them complain about the bad acting, the terrible dialogue, or the cheesy effects, it's like, no, that's why I like it.
Yeah.
And not in that shitty, hipster, ironic way that we were just talking about earlier, but like, I mean, it's genuine. I don't know. I'm charmed by it. So are you ready to get into this?
Yes.
We just watched the Child's Play series with fresh eyes, so let's see how it holds up. Okay, Child's Play 1. What'd you think?
I liked it way more than I thought I was going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I have to say, as we were watching all of these, I was really getting the sense that, like, you just weren't into them. And now some of them I sympathize with, and some of them were kind of hard for me to get through this time as well, but...
The only ones where I felt that way were, like, at the end of the movie, I was thinking, like, God, you're lucky I love you, Chris.
Whoa.
Otherwise, I would not be watching. I would just walk out of the room during these movies. Was 3 and Seed.
You are totally in line with, like, every other Child's Play fan.
Like, yeah, I just, those are the two that it was like, we can turn this off now because I'm done.
That's fun. So, yeah, completely, you're not even aware of the reputation of these films or what the consensus is, but you're totally in line. That's how most people feel, that those are the...
Especially after watching 3, where we watched 2 in one night, or I went to work the next day like, oh, I don't know if I can do it again.
Well, see, I knew that after 3... I knew Bride was going to be a real breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's like, okay, we earned this. We deserve this. but you did. You liked the first one.
I did. It was, I think it was legitimately, I don't know about scary, but tense at times.
Totally.
Suspenseful.
Totally.
And I think that the first one more than, the first one and the last one, I think, are the only ones that kind of understand Chucky's strengths. He catches you off guard. You don't expect the toy to come to life, and you don't believe that's a thing. So you're alone in a room with a toy, and there are butcher knives all around, but I'm not scared because it's a toy.
Right.
No one's going to believe you if you tell them that a toy has come to life, so you're not getting any help from anyone. Mm. And he's small, so he fits in small places and can hide easily.
Yes.
He is not strong. He is 2 feet tall. He doesn't have superpowers.
Just really quick, I know most people are probably familiar with the first Child's Play movie, but just in the broad strokes, single mom, her kid, it's his birthday, he really wants a Good Guy doll. She can't afford it. She's having a tough time making ends meet. Buys it from some homeless guy selling one in the alley behind the department store that she works at. It just so happens to be the one that Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer, the Lakeshore Strangler, has put his soul into through some voodoo gobbledygook that happens in the first scene. He's gunned down, and then so to save his life, he kind of puts his soul into the nearest thing, which is this doll. Swears revenge against the cop who killed him and the
his accomplice
who sped off and left him to die there, and then that's that. So you know, you get like the same thing. The kid has more of the doll is using the kid to, like, you know, go here, do this for me. And what Kristen's talking about, a lot of it is him saying, Chucky's alive, Chucky's alive. All the adults going, ah, come on,
he
kid.
He has an imaginary friend.
And then eventually everybody, well, the three main characters, Andy, the little kid, his mom, and the cop, when all of them figuring out that Chucky is alive, who
Detective
he actually
Humperdinck.
Is. Detective Humperdinck. Chris Sarandon, man, I gotta say, so when we were watching this, I said to you, that's Prince Humperdinck. That's the voice of Jack Skellington and the vampire from Fright Night, the original Fright Night.
Mm.
And I said to you, I don't remember him doing a Chicago accent with the character. Number one, it's pretty good. And number two, every movie I see him in, he's using not just a different accent, he's got a different voice.
I would have never known that Jack Skellington was the same guy as Humperdinck if you hadn't just...
Or the guy from Child's Play. If you close your eyes and listen to him in Child's Play, I would never have gone, that's Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
So, I have to say, all of the performances in this movie are strong. Catherine Hicks is Andy's mom, great. Alex Vincent, who plays Andy, I think is tremendous in both this and the second one. He is a great actor for such a... I don't know how old he was when he made this, but...
Little, but yeah,
between definitely. 6, 8 years old, and he's really good.
Yeah.
Way, way better than I had remembered. But speaking of, you know, of these three main characters, what I had forgotten about was how little Andy is in the movie, because he's in the beginning and he's in the end, but the mom and the cop teaming up for that whole middle chunk where he's off at some institution. And that was one of the things that watching it this time, I kind of felt like we're focusing in the wrong place. Like what is going on? They just kind of say like, we're going to watch after Andy for a few days. And then until Chucky comes to get him, you don't see anything that's going on there. What's happening to this kid? Like, what's going on with these doctors? What kind of conclusions are they drawing about him?
Well, yeah, because then
how's he handling being locked up?
Or being accused of his aunt's murder? Like, hello?
I just wanted more of that. And the thing is like, and there's a couple things in the movie where I felt like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are we not going to acknowledge this? The only other one I can think of right now is when you even said something too, is so when the mom realizes that Chucky is alive, which is a great scene, she opens him up and there's no batteries.
It's like, I'm going to light you on fire if you don't talk to me.
Oh my gosh. Well, and the head spinning around. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie, but... So then she's trying to tell the cop, my kid was right, the doll's alive, and the cop's going like, okay, okay. And then once the cop realizes, when Chucky attacks him in the car, which is still amazing, holy shit, is that scene...
But again, I want to point out, because he is pinned underneath a car that has flipped over, that is why Chucky gets to attack a full-grown man.
But I'm saying, this is a great sequence.
Yeah.
And not just everything leading up before that. Chucky's small enough to hide under the seat and stab up through the seat. And the brakes have been broken. And so, like, he can't... The car's just, like, accelerating faster, 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 trying to watch the road, trying not to crash. And meanwhile, this murderous little doll is running all around the car trying to stab you.
Yeah.
That is... I think that still might be my favorite scene in the entire series. Even as an adult, I think it works so well.
Mm-hmm.
But so even after that happens, so the next time he sees Andy's mom, there is no acknowledgement of, yep, doll's alive. Almost cut my dick off.
That's kind of a running theme in this series. There's a number of times where I'm like, really, you're not going to have a reaction?
Well, so the scene plays out. They're like, okay, so this is the cop's telling her, well, this is one of his known accomplices. We got to go find this guy before Chucky does. And then the scene ends and you kind of go, also, I'm sorry for not believing you. You dick.
Yeah.
But so originally this was like there's a 2-hour cut of this movie that they then whittled down to an hour and 20 some minutes. I'm wondering how much of the stuff we're saying, like, needed more of this, where's that, what's going on there? I wonder how much of that is in that. I would have to believe there's got to be more of Andy in the institution.
Well, yeah, and that's such a good setting in a horror movie. Like, mental institution, done. I'm creeped out.
Especially
children's mental institution.
Especially from the point of view of a child.
Yeah, that'd be creepy. It didn't occur to me that until you said that. I was thinking more that I'm glad they moved to the mom more because, like, the idea of, like, the detective work and figuring it out. I like that momentum of the story. And like Andy and the doll playing together, we're going to be more of the same thing unless Chucky actually followed through with his original intention of finding revenge, which he drops after killing Eddie.
Well, because the only other person is the cop.
Which he never kills in six movies. That cop is still alive.
Yeah.
It still bothers me that we never see Humperdinck again.
He apparently... was supposed to be in the second one. And then also, I believe... Oh, man, there was another sequel where they tried to get him back. And, like, scheduling conflicts, he couldn't do it.
I think it was Bride.
You want to hear about what the original version of this movie was?
Yes.
Okay. When Don Mancini is the guy who, he co-wrote this first one. I think his original script was rewritten. But then he has written all of the other Chucky films, and he's directed the most recent two. So his original script was called Batteries Not Included.
No.
Somewhere along the way, someone went, oh, we can't do this. Spielberg's got something over at this other studio. Same title. We gotta figure something else out. So they changed it to Blood Buddy, because in the original script, Charles Lee Ray was not a character. There was no Chucky. The doll was named Buddy. And how this would have worked is there's nothing about a serial killer. There's no voodoo. It's just, it's like deliberately vague whether or not it's the doll or Andy that's killing people. And in that version, Andy's more of a loner. Like, dad's gone. Mom's working all the time. He doesn't have a lot of friends. I mean, that's all mentioned in this one, but I mean, it's really like hammered home in this other version. And he's got a lot of like anger issues. So, and the good guy dolls in this version, one of the marketing things, how they sell them is these things bleed. Like if you pierce the plastic, you know, fake blood comes out. You got to go and buy good guy brand Band-Aids to put on your doll. Just another way to get some more money for you. Because originally it was supposed to be more satirical, or like taking shots at like commercialism in the 80s. And the, you know, Cabbage Patch dolls were such a huge, huge thing. And it was, I think originally it was going to be more biting in the humor in regards to the world of advertising and how these things are marketed to children and all that sort of thing. So that was one of those ideas. And so Andy wants to become blood brothers with the doll because the doll really is his best friend. Mm. And so they, you know, cuts his thumb, cuts the doll, blood mixes. And then what starts to happen is all of these people that Andy doesn't get along with, the babysitter, a bully figure, I'm sure, the teacher, they're all being murdered. And what's happening is that the doll is this living manifestation of Andy's unconscious rage. That's how Mancini described it. Mm. And it's coming to life when he sleeps and targeting all these people that have wronged him. And the whole reveal with like the batteries not being in the doll, that happens way later in the film. So it's mostly about this ambiguity over whether or not it's actually the doll. And that's still in the movie now, but it makes more sense in this version.
Well, and is in the current, in the version that exists, there's no ambiguity for the audience.
That's the thing that's frustrating. You were saying you like the cop storyline, and I kind of don't, because they're piecing together a puzzle that we've already seen the entire picture of in literally the first scene of the movie.
Yeah.
We already have all the information immediately. And we're just kind of, we know the whole time, we're like, damn it. The kid's telling the truth. Mom's telling the truth. Like we, you know, who is this guy? What does he want? We already know. We've known the entire film. And so that starts to feel a little bit tedious. But, well, there's also the thing is like, I've also heard Mancini describe Chucky as anytime he comes in contact with new characters, he's sort of a ticking time bomb in the room because we know who Chucky is.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for the moment that he springs to life.
Yeah.
And a lot of the suspense is generated for that. So I don't know how you feel about like, you know, the original version where it's more of a mystery, or like the ticking time bomb version where, because we know it's a serial killer inside the doll, we're just waiting for shit to go bad. I mean, I can see it both ways. I think the first idea, it sounds like a much better movie. It sounds like a more interesting movie, but you also don't get six films out of that concept.
Yeah.
It's pretty much over after the first one. I mean, depending on how you feel about the sequels, maybe that's a good thing. So before we wrap up, best and worst scene in this movie.
Worst scene's the climax.
Okay, just all-encompassingly? Okay.
When any point after he is lit on fire, beheaded, his arm and legs are shot off. At that point, no.
You're
stupid.
Done. Okay. No. Best scene.
Best scene is by far the first night that that Andy has the doll, and his aunt's in the kitchen, and his mom's at work, and no one has seen the doll come to life yet. Like, we know Andy's saying, well, Chucky wants to watch the news.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen the doll really come to life. No one else has. And you're just dying with the suspense, waiting to like, come on, do something, kill something. Like, I know it's coming. Just do it. I loved it. The anticipation was killing me. And then like all of a sudden Chucky, you know, has gone from in the bedroom and the TV in the living room is off. Tell us, and well, the doll's in the living room and the TV's on. How did that happen? You're like, ah, because he's alive. just show me that he's alive.
So that's your favorite scene.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, I think the worst scene is anything when he goes after Eddie, his partner, Eddie Caputo, the accomplice. I think, and not just that scene, but the build up to it with taking the kid all the way there. And why does a serial killer have an accomplice in the first place? I never really understood. He's the Lakeshore Strangler, but he's got a getaway driver.
Yeah, I never realized that. That's weird.
I just think I really just want to lose Eddie completely. I just want to get him out of there. So that was my least favorite part of the movie. The best scene, hands down, Chucky in the cop's car. I still think it's just such a great, great sequence. Scary and well shot and just, a great example of, like you said, a scene that couldn't really be in a Halloween movie or a Friday the 13th movie. This is something that exclusively Chucky can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, I really like that. I think that scene still works very well. So, okay, that's Child's Play 1. Let's talk about Child's Play 2. So, initial thoughts on this one.
It wasn't terrible.
Well, we're off to a great start. What an endorsement.
No. I mean, I definitely like it. I mean, it's not as good as the first one, but it wasn't bad.
No.
I think they still understood Chucky's strengths and weaknesses and had some cool settings. I liked the stuff in the toy factory. That was a neat setting to have.
Totally. So, well, I think that Child's Play 2 is a lot of people's favorite, and I can see why. Because this one is focused almost entirely on Andy. Almost everything is from Andy's point of view. The suburban setting, and it's got like a cleaner aesthetic where it's like nice, normal, middle-class family, and then here comes this killer doll. I'm not saying I don't. Listen, I can totally relate to the first movie. Single mom and, you know, trying to can't find a babysitter and da-da-da-da. But that was my childhood. I mean, I appreciate all that stuff. But I like this, too. I like, because when you, like, a toy coming to life and killing people and Andy being the only one that's aware and having to convince everybody else that, you know, the dolls come to life, all that stuff. And to me, it seemed like they got more tension out of that dynamic of the adults thinking Andy is the one behaving like a, you know, a shitty little kid and it's Chucky causing all the trouble. To me, it felt like they got more tension out of that this time without it feeling as tedious as it started to feel in the first one. I'm not saying this is overall a better film. I just think I liked that we spent, you know, the majority of this film with Andy, because I think Chucky is more threatening when you're in the shoes of a little kid who can't defend himself.
Definitely.
And whereas the first movie focuses so much on the adults, especially towards like the, you know, from the middle almost all the way to the end, it's more focused on them. With aside from moments like the cop car, which are great and all that, in general, it's like you said, you get to the climax and you're like, fucking kick him, pick him up, throw it, just do it. Like, I don't feel that way when it's Andy. I just feel like, you
They're
know.
They're almost the same height. No, I think, and this, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a terrible human being. The foster parent stuff got boring to me.
In what way?
And that it was like, I'm a little repetitive. Like, I get it.
Oh, okay.
He's your foster kid and he comes with baggage and that might be more for you. I get it. You're in a foster home. These aren't your parents and you don't feel like you belong. But let's spend like 20 scenes talking about it.
I mean, okay. Well, see, I like those two actors quite a bit. I like, one of my favorite parts of this movie is Andy trying to force himself to be okay with the Chucky doll. Because
I really didn't understand it until you explained that to me.
Because he thinks, he comes into this foster home because his mom is now in a mental institution. Because nobody believed her that this doll was alive and da-da-da-da. So Andy's now in foster care. They have another girl living with them, the teenager, Kyle.
Which is a boy's name.
Yeah, but I like her. She's a good character, good actress. I like the different dynamic with the parental figures in this one. I like his relationship with Kyle. And I thought it did a lot of in a sequel that could have so easily have just really been redundant in terms of the sequence of events, this feels a lot different than the first one to me. Yeah. And so I like that stuff. And yeah, so they do, he comes into this foster home. They already have another good guy doll, Tommy. And so when Chucky, and we should mention how Chucky comes back too, like he's, because you seem to be a little unclear about how exactly this worked.
Well, so in the first movie, we meet Charles Lee Ray's big voodoo daddy.
Big voodoo daddy. That was the character's name. Big voodoo daddy.
His, like, mentor mm-hmm. who told us that.
That was a great scene, too. I forgot to mention. That was one of when he, the voodoo yeah. doll, the way he kills that guy. Anyways.
Yeah. And then, like, as he's dying, right, the mom and Humperdinck come in and tell us that, like, the only way to kill him is by, like, destroying the heart. Gotta be the heart. Because yeah. he's becoming more human.
Yeah.
So at the very end of Child's Play 1, they shoot him in the heart. Now, in Child's Play 2, you've just got the metal skeleton of this doll. Like, everything else has been burnt away. I'm a little creeped out knowing there's a metal skeleton inside of dolls like that, and it makes me look at my Teddy Ruxpin a whole new way.
Teddy Ruxpin more frightening than Chucky, I think.
I have
personally.
It in my notes. Like, creepy as hell. So you've just got this metal skeleton, and they reform it to the new Chucky doll so that the company can prove that the doll's fine, that the mom
which
was
I think
company.
Is a great idea.
Yeah. No, totally. That's a good excuse
yeah,
to bring up
that. Yeah,
because
that company's really taken a hit. Lots of bad press about this kid blaming all these murders on the doll or whatever. And so it makes perfect sense to me. They go like, no, we're going to reassemble this thing. We're going to show you it wasn't the doll.
Yeah, it's a good way to bring the doll back. Except the only thing that didn't burn was the metal part. How is this still Charles Lee Ray in here?
See, I think that the way this in which they resurrect Chucky in subsequent movies.
It's true. This is a better way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't, like, of all of them,
I think
this one's okay.
I think comparatively, I'm just like, I mean, he's got to come back somehow. Okay.
Yeah.
it's fine.
I mean, definitely. Like, when I first was taking notes on Child's Play 2, I was just like, well, what do you mean this is the same doll? What part of it is the same?
And then
you start watching the other movies, you're like, nah, the second one's fine.
See, that's how I kind of feel about the second one in general, is you go like, I guess. I mean, it wasn't worthless. And then you watch some of the others and you go, Child's Play 2, not that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good movie. So then Chucky, after being resurrected in this, like, well, sort of new body, not really, same skeleton, whatever, mails himself to
the metal skeleton. The home. So creepy.
mails himself to the foster home that Andy is now living in, and they already have a good guy doll. So the first thing Chucky does is he murders the other doll, Tommy, buries him in the backyard, laughing maniacally. I love that part. It's like, no, I do. I love it because it's like, it's so deliberate. They know it's ridiculous. The only reason it's in the movie is they're like, we're going to take like something that is a super serious scene in a normal like suspense thriller, and we're going to do it with dolls. And I think there are shades of what the series is going to evolve into later in moments like this, where it's they're with the lightning and the thunder. They
yeah.
know. They
okay.
know it's silly.
Because there's definitely, at one point, there's a long shot of the grave containing the Tommy doll. And I'm, like, looking around, like, wait, but why is that? Now I'm understanding why that shot's in there.
The whole scene of him burying the doll is intentional. You're supposed to kind of laugh at it, which I do. I think it's great. I love the idea that Chucky does that. And are you talking about the scene where, are you talking about that scene, or are you talking about the next time we see where he buried the doll, which is under the
swing set,
which is brilliant, by the way, because there's already a dirt patch there.
Exactly.
You don't notice the ground's been disturbed. And with her kicking on it back and forth, you start, Chucky, you see in his face, kind of, he's like, oh,
scariness.
Shit, they're going to find the doll. Because, were you talking about that scene?
Yeah.
But see, I buy that. I buy that there's tension there, because if they unearth Tommy right then and there, Andy's going to know, well, then who's that doll? I'm with it. I'm going with the movie
yeah.
at that point. I think that works fine. He's got to get Tommy out of the house so he can pretend that he's Tommy. I like this. That's one of my favorite things in the movie, actually, is him killing the Tommy doll and burying it and impersonating it. And I love what that feeds into, which is what I mentioned earlier, that Andy overhears the foster parents saying, He's got a real problem with it. Clearly, he's hung up on this doll. I don't know if we can keep him. He might need more attention than we can give him. And Andy hears this. He's heartbroken, doesn't want to go to another home. So he decides, fuck it. I gotta be okay with this doll. I've got to show them I'm okay with this doll. I'm not, but I'm gonna pretend until I am. And, you know, the picking it up and like, I hate you. Oh, I hate you. And punching it. But then bringing it into the kitchen, like hugging it, like, okay, I'm going to go play now.
I did not get that until, because I complained about that to you after we watched that movie. And when you explained it to me, I'm like, oh my God, I like that so much better. Because in my mind, I'm like, way to just drop the continuity there, writers. That like,
oh, no,
you got this kid that hates the doll.
Even as a little kid watching this one, and I think I saw this one on USA on cable before I saw it, like the full uncut version.
Yeah.
And even that version, it worked for me pretty well. It was still kind of scary. Yeah, I got that right away. And even as a little kid, I thought it was really scary. The idea you got to keep something so close to you that you're so petrified of.
I feel dense, but I didn't get that.
As a kid, I remember being really surprised by how dark this movie was willing to get with the death of the foster father.
I liked that scene.
The mother going catatonic and then her getting killed eventually. And like, poor, now Andy's an orphan again.
Yeah.
And I love that when we get to the final third of the movie, it's Andy and Kyle on their own.
Yeah.
And it's just them. There's no adult figures to hide behind this time. It's just them. That's why, again, to me, that's why this one is more the movie I imagined the first one was going to be before I saw it. So I do think it does a lot of things right. There are some moments you go like, eh, okay, Chucky's a little too jokey in this one. It's where he starts to get a little funnier than menacing. Not as extreme as it'll become later, but there are shades of that here. And just by nature of the fact that as a sequel, it's not going to feel as fresh or as surprising as the first time. But since most people would label the majority of horror sequels as being unnecessary, for a movie that's unnecessary, I think it's pretty good. I think Child's Play 2 could have been a lot worse. But yeah, Child's Play 2, not bad. And I think it's probably the Child's Play movie I've seen the most times too. Hmm. Maybe because they show this one a lot on cable. Maybe it's the one that I've rewatched the most often. I'm not sure, but this is the one I know pretty much beat for beat.
Yeah.
So best worst scene in Child's Play 2.
For best scene, that's a hard decision for me because it's either going to be the foster dad's death, but that's tied with Toy Factory because that's also just a really cool setting. It ran a little long. At some point, I was like, okay, can we just kill the kid and move? Or not the kid.
Oh, geez.
I hate Andy.
Okay. No,
can we kill the doll and move on? Because we all know where this is going. But I just really like the setting. It looked really neat.
Yeah.
And very bright for the ending of a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Worst scene was, and this is so nitpicky, after they recreate the Chucky doll,
yeah,
the toy company guy takes the doll to his car. First off, why? Why is he taking it home? Anyways, he takes the doll to his car, puts it in the back seat, gets in his car. At some point, Chucky pops up with a knife and carjacks him. Mm-hmm. He's like, drive here, drive
well,
there.
Well, it was a water pistol.
A water pistol, you're right. This guy does not react to the fact that this doll has come to life.
He doesn't know it's the doll. He thinks
he's looking at him in the rearview mirror.
Is he? I thought
no,
he didn't
totally
get it was a
him.
Doll.
No, he's totally looking at him.
The worst. I don't know. I think it's the most. I don't know. See, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that, and I don't know. I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be the teacher. The best scene, I'm also going to say the climax. I like the good guy factory. Even as a little kid, I really loved that idea so much. Mm. But mainly because I love how just totally fucked up Chucky gets in the scene where he's got to pull his own hand off. But mostly I love how when Chucky goes into the machine that makes no sense to me, but I don't care because it's so cool, where it starts sticking random doll parts into him.
Yeah.
And he just comes out like a total fucking mess. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And then like you're sitting there going, well, but I only see the lower half of him. And then like he's dragging the front half of himself on the, you know, on the board. And I just love it's more of the same thing from that first movie where he's just unstoppable. He just keeps coming. Like, I love that. I think her sticking the air hose in his head...
That's ridiculous.
The idea itself is fine, but they shoot it like a Looney Tunes cartoon where his head expands, and then blows up. But yeah. But in general, I like his death scene. I really like this climax. And so yeah, that's going to be my best scene for this one as well. Okay, so moving on. Child's Play 3. Dare I ask?
It's a military academy, and it's a 2-foot doll. Yeah. I'm out. No.
Well,
weird decision. Really weird decision.
So I didn't see this one when it was, this is the first Chucky movie I remember seeing like trailers for, being aware that there was a new Child's Play movie coming out.
Yeah.
Looking through my mom's the paper to see the review, 1-star review in the Chicago Tribune. And this was the first one I remember being aware, even as a little kid, like, oh, this is a bad movie. Like before I saw it, I was just like, I had the understanding this is a bad movie. So I was in no rush to see it. I didn't rent this one.
So how long before you saw it?
Well, I didn't see it until after Bride of Chucky, actually.
Oh.
Because when that one came out when I was in high school, and I went to see it. And that movie works well enough that even having not seen the third one, just understanding how it connects to the rest of the series, it was fine. But because I saw Bride of Chucky first... This one had three major strikes against it, like, going in. Number one, even though this is before the series turns into, like, full-on black comedy, Chucky just isn't as threatening in this one. And I'll talk more about why in just a second. You already sort of touched on one of the reasons.
Military Academy.
And number two, I was a junior in high school. Mm. And this is just, like, you know, the height of being really cynical and apathetic and kind of shitty about everything. And so... I was too old to really be scared by it anymore. It's kind of funny. Like, you know, these movies are rated R. So it's like you're 17 and older. But 17 is sort of the age where it's like it's going to stop working for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... And then number three, seeing this after Bride of Chucky, it made it really hard to even try and take any of it seriously. Because by that point, the franchise itself was sort of getting very, like, you know...
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and kind of acknowledging, like... Kind of silly, right, guys?
Yeah.
Like, it's a ridiculous concept. Let's really push it. Let's make it ridiculous. Let's have some fun with it. So then to go back from that, it was just, I didn't really get into this one. What's crazy, and I think most of what went wrong here, is that this came out only 9 months after Child's Play 2.
But it takes place 8 years later.
Right, right.
It's weird.
Well, but not so weird in that, so imagine you're the writer of this movie, and Child's Play 2 isn't even done yet. You're in post-production on it. But it's the rough cuts have tested well enough that Universal goes, let's get another one going. Why wait? Let's make this happen. You're not even done with the second one. You're working on another project simultaneously. What's Child's Play 3 going to be about? I can see from his point of view going, I've had two movies of a doll chasing around this little kid, Andy. Can't really make that movie again. So the idea to age him up a little bit and tell it that allows you to tell a different kind of story. And he said he deliberately did not want to do something that was just, oh, it's Andy in high school, like that kind of a teenage story. And the reason he settled on a military academy, and I don't hate this idea, is that in his mind, he thought one of the reasons Chucky was so successful was he was like anti-authority, like sort of this punk rock attitude. And he went after authority figures. And so what better setting for like an anti-establishment character than a place that's very rigid, a lot of rules, and you know, there's a lot of opportunities there. Like I can see that. I actually don't hate that.
I get that.
But yeah, so I like that they tried to do something different with it. The premise I don't hate, the location I don't hate. I don't. Where I think it goes wrong, the main thing is Andy himself. And I like the actor. Justin Whalen plays him this time.
It's Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen from Lois and Clark.
I'm just going to call him Jimmy Olsen.
He's going to love that.
He's so cute.
So, yeah, I understand aging him up, like, to tell a different kind of story. But what I don't like is that the script doesn't seem very interested in detailing exactly what would happen to a kid who's been through all the things he's been through.
Mm.
Because to me, I mean, so you've got all these parental figures abandoning him, never being in one place too long, all this horrible violence you've witnessed, some of which you've had to commit yourself. There are so many interesting things you could do with teenage Andy at this point. PTSD, survivor's guilt,
yeah.
Maybe starting to show some violent tendencies of his own that he has to learn to control. But there's none of that. He's really just a white bread character in this. He's very, very dull. And, you know, despite the fact that he's not very good at shooting a gun and stuff like that, he still comes across as a pretty capable and, like, driven character.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that you switch the dynamic where instead of him being a victim,
he's a protector.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. But that means that this is the first one where you said, why doesn't he just kick him?
Yeah.
Because this is where the premise starts losing some traction, because Andy's not a little boy anymore, and Chucky doesn't feel as formidable or as dangerous. And maybe it would have worked better, and this is the other thing I don't like, is if Tyler, the character of Tyler, served the purpose he's clearly intended to, which is to be the new Andy. This kid is way too old. He's, you know, it's
Tyler's
written.
Too old?
Yes, because he's written to be like a 6 or 7 year old. He looks like he's 12 or 13. So to me.
No.
Oh, yes. The way he fawns.
He's so young.
No.
He's teeny.
He's too old. The way he fawns over the doll and the way he speaks to people, it starts to feel like there's just something wrong with this kid.
Hmm.
I think he's too old. When you compare him, if you imagine how Andy looks in the first movie, and then compare him to Tyler. I just get, like, it seems like this all is not right in Tyler's head.
Hmm. Again, my big issue with the series is when they forget that it's a 2-foot doll. And I like the fact that they said, like, okay, Andy's grown up, but we're still going to keep it a small kid because it's just got to be. It's a small doll. And Andy has switched to the role of protector and has gone from this victim to someone that's actually seeking out Chucky. Instead of running from him, he's seeking him out. He wants to, he's, instead of hiding behind mom's skirts, he's going to be one to take Chucky down this time. That part I did like.
Yeah, totally. I think there is again, I know you don't like the setting. I know a lot of people hate that it's set at a military school. That's not the part that bugs me. I think there is a really interesting movie in here somewhere. I just think he needed more than a few months to get it together. I think 2 years between this and Child's Play 2, you wind up with a more polished version of this premise, and I think there's something here. I really do. Like I said, just fundamentally, the idea of Chucky in a place that is all about conformity, very interesting.
It's a good point.
Are you ready to have your mind blown? Let me tell you about what the original idea for this movie was. Oh my! See, I thought for sure you were going to be like, you're not going to blow my...
it's going to be better. It's going to be so much better. Tell me.
Well, now we're going the opposite route. Now I'm a little worried that it's not going to be that great.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I don't know if this crossed your mind, but as you're watching the beginning of this film and you're seeing how Chucky's resurrected this time...
Which is a drop of blood in a vat of plastic.
It's more than a drop.
Okay. You know,
but his blood gets mixed in with the plastic because the factory, enough time has passed, the factory's reopened, there's going to be a new line of good guy dolls. So you see the cobwebby factory from the end of 2 is now being dusted off, and here we go. And as they're removing Chucky, the corpse of Chucky, and the machinery cuts into it, and it bleeds into the plastic that's making the new dolls. Dolls. Plural.
Well, that was going to be my question. All right. I like that. You could get multiple dolls out of one vat of plastic. Now I'm on board. Okay.
That was the original idea. Multiple Chuckies.
That would be awesome.
Now it makes a little more sense to write an army of Chuckies
in
a military
Let's
school.
Have that movie.
But it was a cost issue. They couldn't afford to do it.
That makes sense.
That was the original idea.
Oh, that's good. That's like Alien versus Aliens.
I think it's a great idea. I'm still waiting for a multiple Chucky's movie. You could have a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
But this feels like, if you were going to do it, it feels like this had to be the one where you did it. Because it's
an military academy. Yes. You could have the two armies warring against each other.
Exactly. I think that
Let's
must have
it.
Been part of what was the
Let's
original
write it
process.
And then,
are you okay, now we're going a little too far. We made one fan film. I think that's that ship has sailed. But well, and then the other part that's a little different is one of the things I actually really like in the movie, where he puts live ammunition into the guns they're going to be using for that, like, war games scenario.
Yeah, at some point the guy's like, relax, it's just paint.
And in the finished version, it's pretty much just the one guy that gets killed, like the main bully guy. And I really wanted Chucky to kill that guy. And I know he does, inadvertently, I mean, that's sort of, it's because of Chucky he dies. But I hated that character so fucking much. The actor Shelton. The actor did such a good job of just making him the shittiest shit. And I wanted so much more. But yeah, so originally that scene, though, it was going to be a much bigger set piece, this whole War Games thing, where tons of kids are just getting mowed down before they realize what's happened.
I think I know why that didn't happen.
Just in terms of, it's probably cut for good taste.
Yeah. But, children dying.
Well, okay, but here's where I'm going to disagree, is that the little kids, like Tyler, sure, yeah, none of that. Teenagers getting killed is par for the course in these types of movies.
That's true.
And I think if you have the scene where they're all just fucking, like, blowing the shit out of each other, that sounds very different. That sounds like a different movie. Also would have been the most memorable scene in the series. But the scene where they're shooting at each other, I can't get the image out of my mind now. Everyone's a winner. Red team, blue team, doesn't matter. Oh, the snorts. I like that your snorts are like the star rating system. Oh, three snorts, we're on to something. Oh my gosh. I seriously think that would have been the most memorable scene in the entire franchise if they'd had the balls to run with the ball. I can't even fucking save myself here. we're gonna move on. This is gonna get silly.
Okay, so can we talk about how the barber has some sort of
I think that's also one of the most memorable elements of the movie.
I mean, like, I get it's his job to keep everyone's hair short, but he's having
full orgasms as he cuts people's hair.
Oh, and like, then he sees Chucky, he's like, yeah, duh, I just have to cut some hair.
I love that he's that into it, that it's just like, and he had a hair.
That isn't regulation.
Oh, well, and you didn't notice till super late into the film that he keeps the locks of hair on the wall.
That's so creepy. If he wasn't dead, he would become a serial killer. He's creepy.
But so, best worst scene in Child's Play 3?
Best scene is the barber's death. That whole scene, that was a good scene. Like, from the fact that I just want him to die.
Yep.
And like, again, that's a very good example of Chucky rebelling against authority. Like, don't cut my long hair, even though I hate Chucky's hair. Worst scene is everything else.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't choose one. I just broke.
So my answers are exactly the same. My favorite scene, the best scene, I think, is the death of the barber. The worst, I couldn't pick a worse scene, and not because, oh, there's so many. It was just, this is my least favorite of the first three movies, because it's kind of weird to group them all together. It feels more like you got your first three and you got the next two. It feels weird to compare the next two to these first three because they're so different and they have very different aspirations and everything. But, so it's my least favorite of the first three, but there's nothing I can point to as being so like this in particular, this specific thing is horrible. It's just sort of really underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, oh, I think there's a good idea in here somewhere. Maybe not a great Chucky movie, but there's a good sequel in here somewhere. It's just too rushed. It feels too thrown together, and it feels half-baked. So I'm just very underwhelmed by this one. All right. So that's Child's Play 3. I think you're ready to move on.
Yes.
Okay.
After Child's Play 3, I was like, I'm not sure if I can watch the rest of these. I just...
Well, the good news is, next one up, Bride of Chucky.
Whole new thing here. This is almost a new franchise.
So, yeah. So what'd you think of this one?
I like this one. This was funny. It was still... I wouldn't say it's... I don't know if any of these are... No. Okay, Child's Play 1 was scary. After that, the rest of them didn't scare me, but this one is still suspenseful. And I would still classify it as a horror movie, but also a comedy.
Yeah, it's...
There's gore to it. And...
It's always a tough sell when... I think, in general, they still aren't sure how to market horror comedies.
Hmm.
Which is crazy because there are so many people that like that love these things. You look at stuff like Evil Dead 2, Shaun of the Dead, Slither. It's a great mixing of genres. But I think the concern is always that people that love horror movies are going to see a trailer and go, oh, I don't. It looks too silly. It looks too funny. I'm not interested. And people that like comedies are going to go, oh, that's kind of like a gross horror movie. I'm not into it. They still don't quite know how to package these things for people. So it's kind of impressive to me that this movie did as well as it did. And at the time, this was the most successful one. I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation, but I'm pretty sure this one has the highest gross of any of the Child's Play movies. But, well, so what were the moments then that you thought were still suspenseful in this one? Or
I think most of the death scenes still work. I mean, you know, again, I'm not scared. It's not like, oh no, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen, and I'm rooting for it. And let's see it.
Right there is very different from the first three. I think this is the one that really runs with the idea of like. You want these people to die, right? Like,
I don't know. The Barbara scene in Child's Play 3, I want that guy
to die. Well, okay, sure, in that one. And I definitely I wanted Shelton to get killed by Chucky. He just didn't, not in the way I wanted it. But I'm saying this is the one that really embraces the idea of like what Friday the 13th had been doing, which was like, you're kind of rooting for Jason, right, guys? So we're just going to fill this with really shitty, unlikable characters. And the idea is like... Let's go crazy when they get killed because that's why you're
here. Convenient with the deaths. Even Tiffany brings up, like, you got to get creative. No one uses a knife anymore.
Right. So I think this is the first Child's Play movie that's instead of like the suspense of, oh God, he's going to kill her, it's like, oh, he's going to kill her.
Do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, the idea behind Bride of Chucky is that. God, how do you even explain this fucking movie?
Tiffany,
who is the ex-girlfriend of Charles Lee Ray, bribes a cop to get his remains out of...
Evidence.
Right.
Which, can we talk about the evidence locker?
Oh!
That was such a... I haven't written down what was in the evidence locker.
Freddy's claw.
Michael Myers and Jason's masks.
Yep.
Leatherface's chainsaw.
The crate from Creepshow is in there.
Yes. Freddy Krueger's glove. That's awesome. You see all that and you're just like, yes!
I mean, and what's great, and like that's like the opening thing, the lightning flashing on all these things in the police lockup, and it's like the first indication that this is going to be a self-referential,
it's very meta,
very aware of itself sort of movie. Yeah. It's a great start. And so he's paid by Tiffany, this cop, to get the remains of Chucky, who is blown apart by like a fan at the end of Child's Play 3.
Shot and blown apart.
Yeah, so he's in all sorts of pieces. Tiffany kills the cop, takes the remains, stitches them back together, so we get our new look Chucky, the stitched together, really, really crazy looking version of Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought he was proposing to her, you know, right before he was killed or whatever. And
she found a ring.
Right, and
he was going to hawk it.
Yeah, so she does the voodoo ritual to bring him back to life so that they can, you know, we'll get him in a new body, we'll get married, we'll have the life I've put on hold these last 10 years, whatever. And brings Chucky back and realizes pretty quickly, no, he's just the same little asshole he always was.
Mm.
So she decides to, she's like, fine, fuck it, I'm just going to keep you locked up here. Taunts him by giving him a
bride doll.
Yeah. Chucky decides to get revenge, and instead of just killing Tiffany... does a ritual of his own to put her into the other doll. And then they have to... The whole point of the movie is they have to get to the cemetery where Charles Lee Ray's body has been buried because he's got an amulet around his neck that they can use to get in other bodies. Why was this never mentioned in the first three movies? Because if it was, you wouldn't have needed to have gone after Andy all these times. Yep. All you needed was the amulet. So,
although I will say at the end of... Or at some point in Child's Play 3, he completes the whole soul transfer spell, and it doesn't work. And so now we're finally getting the explanation, and Bride of Chucky goes, well, it's because you didn't have the amulet.
Oh, gosh, man, I never even noticed that.
Yeah.
And so that does make... Okay, so the pill's a little easier to swallow.
I don't know if they knew that when they made
Child's Play. Well, no, I'm sure they didn't. But I'm saying, so as far as plot contrivances go, could have been worse then.
No.
But Well, but you know, and the thing is, even not knowing that, the tone of this movie is so silly that it never bothered me. So they use these two teenagers, Jesse and Jade, to get them to New Jersey, and they're kind of like it's a Romeo and Juliet situation where her uncle doesn't like him. He's trying to keep them apart.
He's from the wrong side of the tracks, or wrong side of the trailer park.
But what I loved about this, and one of my favorite parts of the movie, has always been the misunderstanding of people think it's Jesse and Jade committing all these murders, that they're like a Bonnie and Clyde, Mickey and Mallory sort of thing.
And even they think
it's the other person doing the murders.
I love that.
Oh, it's so good. And it's written so well, and it's so clever. And it's such a great dynamic to have throughout this story. And so that's the gist of the plot of Bride of Chucky. So I know that a lot of fans don't like this one. People that really like the first three movies really can't stand the shift in tone of this one. There are also a lot of people that think this is the best one in the series for the exact same reason. But I think what's important here is you have to look at this contextually, because this movie comes out in 1998. The previous Child's Play movie came out in 91. Mm-hmm. So it's been 7 years since there's been a Child's Play movie. Scream comes out in 1996.
That was going to be my next question.
And all of a sudden, horror is in vogue again, but very specifically self-referential horror.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a lot of shitty knockoffs of this sort of concept. In general, I do not like 90s horror. I think the first Scream movie is fine.
I love the first Scream
And there's movie. A lot in the second Scream movie that I actually think Scream 2, until you get to the reveal of the killers, has more fun with the concept of being self-referential, specifically in the opening scene in the first 10 minutes, anything that kind of goes on in the original Scream. But I think they're both very strong films, but in general, I kind of can't stand the trend that it kicked off. But so that was what was going on. The studios are going like, this Scream thing is gigantic. How do we get in on this? And so Universal goes, well, Child's Play is something that we have here in-house. Mm-hmm. This is our one of our big horror franchises. Is there anything we can do with this? What I like is that this is a very, even though it contains some self-referential elements, you've got the part where John Ritter's character gets killed and like all the nails in his face and Chucky.
Why does that look so familiar?
Okay, I don't really like those moments very much, but it's only got a couple of those things. In general, when it's commenting on itself, it's not as in your face. It's through stuff like the Damien character at the very beginning, the goth boyfriend of Jennifer, or wannabe boyfriend of Jennifer, when she shows him this Chucky doll she's put back together. And he says something along the lines of this is so 80s, he's not even scary. That works because it works in the world of the film, but it also works as everybody behind the scenes being aware that this is how you, a modern audience, think of Child's Play, right?
Right.
They're acknowledging it and they're having fun with it. And I think that stuff is really smart and it works really, really well. So I think they kind of did a great job of taking what was fun about the Scream movies, but doing something very different. I get that if you really love the first three and you want a more straightforward horror movie, I understand, but I also think the longevity of this series, it's been around 25 years mm-hmm. at this point. We're not still talking about Child's Play unless it's savvy enough to reinvent itself in this way. I think we needed this. I think it reinvigorated the franchise in a really exciting and interesting way. And I think there's room for both, honestly. I think there's plenty. Look, you had three movies of straightforward horror, of Chucky. I love that they did this. I can't think of another series that did this as successfully, that blatantly shifted genres. And not only that, shifted and then came back to the original concept eventually.
Yeah.
That's really fucking impressive.
This, which works for me, because by the end of the third one, I was laughing at it. I was rolling my eyes, being like, this is ridiculous. So it feels to me like the filmmakers knew that, okay, at this point, we're laughing at it. Let's do it all the way then. Let's really laugh at it, but purposely.
Yeah.
So like you said, it's a breath of fresh air.
As much as I feel like doing what we did, watching them so close together in such a close proximity is a little draining. Mm. I think it also, it does a great job of illustrating exactly why Bride of Chucky needed to happen.
Absolutely.
When it happened.
Yeah, it needed that.
So this was the first Child's Play movie I saw in the theater. I went with my girlfriend at the time. We weren't expecting very much of it. There just wasn't anything else playing that weekend. I'd had enough passing interest in the series in general that I thought, like, hey, let's roll the dice. Let's see what happens. Holy shit, were we not expecting this? And to this day, it's one of the best, like, communal theater-going experiences I've had in my life in terms of the crowd being super into this movie.
I love that. I love it when that happens.
Because I think, like, I think most people were, like us, we were just unprepared for what we were about to see. We didn't know what this movie was going to be. So, yeah, I mean, cheering, screaming, the sex scene was, like, that got such a reaction. It was a lot of fun, and I think made more fun for that reason, that the crowd was really, really into it.
Yeah, I love it when that happens.
Best worst scene in Bride of Chucky?
Best scene is the couple getting killed in the honeymoon suite with the mirror coming. That's so good. That's a good death. Worst scene is the baby popping out at the end.
Yeah, we're in total agreement on the worst scene. I understand you want to go out on a cliffhanger. I just don't think that's it. The best scene, I mean, this is probably the one that's hardest to choose of all of them because there are a lot of really, really great moments in this one. I'm really stuck. The mirror shattering, that's definitely a contender. God, and the dude getting flattened by the truck is such a surprise and so good.
Just exploded.
I don't know. I guess I'll go with the mirror too. It's a great scene. All right. Seed of Chucky. So here's the thing. All right. So I deliberately did not tell you anything about the way fans feel about these movies going into this.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you, like, okay, so Bride of Chucky's where it shifts. Seed of Chucky, most people regard as the worst in the series. I didn't tell you any of that. I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were going in. So, again, it's interesting that you singled out 3 and Seed as, like, you know, they're very clearly the lesser.
Objectively terrible.
So, Seed of Chucky.
Oh, my God, it's so bad. It's just so, so bad. I did not, like, nothing redeemable in it. I was just waiting for it to end.
We're probably going to talk a lot about the things we don't like, so I just want to, I mean, let me take a second to point out some of the things I thought were okay. The idea of Chucky having a son that's a pacifist, I think is amusing.
That's cute.
That feel, especially after the ending of Bride, it really feels like this is a fun way to, like, subvert expectations.
That's cute.
In terms of taking the movies in places you weren't expecting, you know, Bride of Chucky was really good at doing that. This is, again, like Child's Play 3, I thought there were things in here that could have formed the foundation of a better movie. It's so strange. Like, I don't hate the idea of Glenn, who is Tiffany and Chucky's son slash daughter slash whatever. Glenn or Glenda, which is intentional. I don't hate the idea of that. The character still rubs me the wrong way. I don't like the look of him.
The look doesn't make sense. I know, like, I read that they tried to make it look a little bit like Chucky, but it looks nothing like him. It looks nothing like either of them. And it does, I mean...
Well, okay, so speaking of that, one of the other things I kind of like, and this may have been unintentional, but I think it still works, is... So this is the first movie where Kevin Yeager is not doing the Chucky and Tiffany effects. This is a new company handling that. And you don't see it as much in Chucky, but Tiffany looks different to me in this one. Her face looks a little different. The way her face moves, it looks different. But it works because these are not the original Chucky and Tiffany dolls. These are the Hollywood Chucky and Tiffany dolls.
Yeah.
So it
Which
works.
Makes no sense when their souls get back into them.
Well,
they don't even try to explain it.
No, well, they don't. They definitely do. See, in this, again, yes, in terms of the movie itself, it's so fucking stupid. But I also sympathize as the guy who has to sit down and write this to go, like, I just need to get them in the movie so we can get going here. I don't want 30 minutes of explanation of trying to get Chucky and Tiffany back in the bodies. But what's funny to me is how abbreviated the voodoo ritual becomes as the movies go on. Because in the first one, it's this, like... I mean, it's this whole... There's a real to-do about that. I'm screaming, give me the power, I'm back of you! And it goes on, and there's lots of repetition. And in this one, it's just like...
Read these words.
Ooh, way, blah, blah, da, blah, 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 up their back. I mean, there's not even the clouds rolling in this one.
No.
He just reads the words in their back. It's
like, I was like, we need the shot of the clouds. There's always the shot of the clouds.
I suspect that even the writer is really tired of this voodoo bullshit. That he didn't want it in the first place. He's had to deal with it. Because that's the interesting thing. It's insane that they've had the same writer stick through the whole series. That never happens. And the fact that when he sits down to write Child's Play 2 and on, he is now dealing with elements of a mythology that he did not create. His original script had nothing to do with Charles Lee Ray, with voodoo, but now those are the standards. That's the foundation of these films, and now he's had to figure out how to sustain that for five other movies beyond that original film. And so to me, that's, you can kind of see how by the time you get to see Chucky, he's just like, blah, 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 fuck it, voodoo, they're back.
Okay, so I will say that the idea of their son being picked up in this cemetery by this goth kid, not knowing who he is and being like enslaved as a ventriloquist dummy is interesting to me. I kind of want to see a little more of that. That was cool.
Yeah, I like the intro.
That was neat. I like that he, like, the only clue he has to his background is this stamp on his wrist that makes no sense.
Because it's not in any of the other movies.
But whatever, we'll go with it. That said, also not made in Japan because we saw the factory in Jersey.
So true.
Right?
Oh,
we
shit.
We saw him being made in Jersey and he has a stamp that says made in Japan. Lies. Anyways. his only clue to his background is the stamp on his wrist. This is made in Japan.
Yeah.
So he's clued that he's Japanese.
That's funny. And I could tell you got a lot of mileage out of that.
Every time he spoke Japanese, it cracked me up.
Yeah.
I did like the part where like, are you a boy or a girl? I don't know. And because he looks like a Ken doll.
That is such a strange and hilarious scene. The way, because he looks, the way, every time they, like, his face, when he's just lying on his back, his pants are down, he just looks so vulnerable and odd and, like,
it's the weirdest.
It's
such a, like, human-like doll that it's a little bit like you're looking at a kid's downstairs area, but not because it's a doll. And this scene kind of reminds you, like, this thing has the anatomy of a Barbie or a Ken doll. I don't know. It's a lump.
A kid's downstairs area is the creepiest way you could have phrased that.
No.
Prove me wrong.
A kid's hoo-ha?
No. Try again.
No.
Kid's downstairs area.
That's his lower half. His crotch? I don't know. Nothing. There's no good way to refer to that.
In terms of other things I like, the opening point of view shot I thought was cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Where you're running around, it's when it's Glenn's nightmare of running around this house murdering Glenn's people. Family. I thought that was pretty cool. First time there's nudity in a Child's Play movie, too.
She has some nice tits.
It's noticeable for, I was going to isolate that and loop that in through the whole rest of this episode.
She did.
Andy's mom, she had some nice tits. So just Kristen is really focused on tits. But I thought that was all really cool, the way they did that shot. And the fleeting glimpses you catch of Glenn are actually a little creepy in that one scene. I mean, after that opening shot, though, that extended opening scene, it's just a bridge too far in terms of, like, I mean, it's not even shot like a horror film.
It is not a horror film. It's not even really a comedy because it's not that funny.
Well, but it's intended to be a comedy, and but Bride of Chucky does a better job of being a horror comedy. It's yes. shot like a horror film. Yes. I think Bride of Chucky arguably, I don't know if I was going to say it's the best looking film in the series. I actually kind of like the aesthetics of the first two, but I think it's certainly the slickest looking.
Yeah,
you can tell it was the most expensive one.
Yeah.
But I'm just in terms of visually, this one isn't even interested. It's like, yeah, this shit's not scary, right? We're just going to shoot it like a sitcom.
Well, and it just looks so cheap. There's like two sets. They're in Jennifer's apartment or house.
I did remember that. The majority of it took place in her house.
I mean, I do love... It took me a while to understand how Jennifer Tilly could be in the movie. That like, no, Tiffany's in the doll. And then I was like, the second they called her Jennifer, I'm like, oh, okay, no, wait, I see what's going on here. It's Jennifer.
It's just another example of them really pushing the, like, let's just get really ridiculous.
I love the fact that Jennifer Tilly's in it. I love it.
I actually do think there are some good lines in the beginning of it too, but you're right. It stops being funny pretty quickly. Mm. And I think Don Mancini's actually a really funny guy, really witty. But there are moments in this aforementioned Britney Spears scene where it doesn't even like, it doesn't mean anything. You know, the joke is just that she's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
It's not satirizing anything. It's not making a comment on anything. It's like those, you know, those so-called spoofs like Disaster Movie, Epic Movie, where the joke is just, hey, look, it's somebody from pop culture you recognize. Oh, and check it out. Something just fell on their head. Isn't that hilarious? No, not really. I think what you're onto something with there just not being a particularly strong driving force behind this film.
I mean, they want to possess, Tiffany wants to possess Jennifer Tilly and be famous, and she's planning on possessing Chucky, or possessing Redman with Chucky so he can be a famous
Which doesn't
rapper.
Make any fucking sense. Like, I like Redman. I think he's kind of a funny, well, he is, he's a funny guy. Originally, the guy that Mancini really wanted to play that part, a guy playing himself, was Quentin Tarantino, which would have made a lot more sense. Quentin Tarantino making like a Bible epic and Jennifer Tilly wanting to get in on it to like reinvigorate her career.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have worked much better, as is now the whole explanation of like Redman, hip hop artist turned director, making a Bible movie about Virgin Mary. It just feels a little strange. Okay, so we could just pile on this movie forever, I feel like. But so, best and worst scene in Seed of Chucky.
I don't know.
Well, I can go first, because yeah. I know. So I think the worst scene is the Britney Spears thing, because it just feels like a lazy joke, even for a Chucky movie, it just feels like you're better than this. I mean, the punchline, oops, I did it again, it just feels so shit. It's too much, and it kind of... The reason I single it out is it kind of isolates everything that I don't like about this movie, which is just the humor feels a little lazier, it doesn't feel as sharp, and the sequence is just unnecessary. It adds nothing to the film overall, and it's just kind of lame. It feels very amateurish, and coming off of a movie that felt more sophisticated and clever than I could have anticipated, it just makes this one doubly disappointing. The best scene... I do like the opening point of view shot, and I like when they decapitate the guy.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite scene is when John Waters, who plays the paparazzi guy,
yeah.
gets his face melted off
That's
by the acid.
Good. That looked good.
That's my favorite scene in the movie.
That's good. Worst scene, I really didn't like Linda Glenn's split personality thing where all of a sudden she's going nuts. Best scene. I do like Chucky's speech where he's just like, fuck it. I'm a murderous doll. I want to be a murderous doll. I don't want to be a fucking driver. I'm Chucky.
That did feel different, but yeah, that was a cool moment.
Like, be Chucky, man. Own it.
Yeah. Cause God damn it. There's going to be more sequels and let's stop trying to have some crazy explanation for.
Yeah. Just be a serial
own
killer.
It.
Just be a serial killer. That's all we want.
Yeah. That was a fun moment. All right, well, that's Seed of Chucky.
Let's move on to a good one.
Okay, let's move on to... I'm so glad you said that. Our final one, Curse of Chucky, the newly released Curse of Chucky, just came out a couple weeks ago at the time we're recording this.
Straight to video.
So, you liked this one.
I did like it.
I did too.
This is my
I really
favorite.
Did, too.
I like the first one is my favorite, and then this one.
Yeah, I was surprised that I really... I did. I liked this. I like the new design of Chucky. I actually prefer straightforward Chucky to the scarred version. I might be in the minority on that. I think a lot of people, when his violence takes you off guard,
because he looks so innocent and cute.
This is the version that he just goes into toy mode and he blends in.
Yeah.
Whereas exactly. in the other ones, people even have a reaction like, oh, that is like an ugly doll. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, this one won me over pretty quickly with the opening credits. The way that, like, so our main character is in a wheelchair in this one. And the,
Nika,
who is his daughter in real life, Fiona Dourif. She is incredible.
So good.
She is a great, great actress.
So good. Has she done anything else?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think she has.
I feel like we're going to see a lot more of her because she's really good.
She is so good. And I mean, just the opening moment with her and the delivery guy, and he's flirting with her, and the mom kind of says, like, oh, he's just being nice. And like, and you get their relationship right away. And
this one, I feel like, is the most subtle of all of them. I mean, like,
in terms of, yes, of who the characters' personalities and the backstories and all that. Yeah, I mean, totally.
It's a horror movie. It's not going to be terribly subtle. But there's even, like, some plot points where it's like, they don't say it outright. It's just like, hey, did you catch this?
Yeah. Yeah.
That I appreciated that. It makes you feel smarter as an audience goer. That like, I got it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the way this plays out with the doll that comes to the house and they're like, what is this? Who sent this? I don't, what is this doing here? And then the mom being murdered so early really caught me by surprise. And then the way that you shift from like, it pans back from the body to the doll sitting in the chair. And then that's when the main title comes up and the music kicks in. And this has a great score too. Like it really embraces some of the other scores have had elements of this music box sort of sound to them, but this one really runs with that. And, I loved the score. I thought that was great. The way it just in one shot, it pans around the doll and you come back and now it's later and the cops are there and it's the crime scene.
That's later. Stain on the floor. That freaked me.
But it's so well done. So, and yeah, it has like a nice atmosphere to it. Even though it looks a little stagey, like you can tell it's not shot on location. I wish the house felt a little more lived in and that we had explored more of it than we did. It's funny, like I read a couple of reviews for this after we watched it. Some of them praised all of the performances. Others said it was like watching a porno without the sex in it.
What?
I'm sort of in the middle. Like, you know, I think there are some great ones. We mentioned Fiona Dourif is great. And, you know, and the thing that I really loved about her being in a wheelchair is that the whole, why don't you just kick him?
Because she can't. Yeah,
well, now you can't.
No, I love that. Again, this one understands Chucky's limitations and say, okay, but we're going to limit this full-grown adult so that she can't go up and down the stairs.
And the moment
we took out the elevator, so she can't take the elevator.
Right.
She has to army crawl at certain points.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing like about her not realizing she's been cut at the one point.
Love that.
So then the part where he buries the axe in her leg, which is a great effect. The way they did that is astounding, to the point where it's like she rolls right up to the camera at one point where it's like, get a good look at this because we did a great fucking job on this appliance. All that stuff works so, so well.
Yeah. I have him in here when she gets stabbed in the leg because, like, that's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. She would not feel that.
I generally liked most of the performances in this. I thought there was more good than bad. So yeah. I don't know that I would go as far as to say it's porno level acting, but
no. I mean, I understand, like, production value is, it's not terrible. It's a little lower than Bride of Chucky because it's straight to video. I get that. It didn't bother me whatsoever.
No, and in this, in Seed of Chucky, the small scope it rubs you the wrong way because the movie sets it up as something that's going to be more.
You got the Hollywood Hills.
It's a grander scale than it actually is. And then so it's kind of disappointing when you settle into like, oh, we're just going to be here. This one right from the start, not only does it right from the get-go where you're like, oh, okay, so it's an Agatha Christie kind of 12 Little Indians, we're all trapped in this one location sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, this is the whole point.
Well, and that's her life. She's kind of trapped in this
house. Exactly.
Yeah, and like, and I will say that like Jennifer Tilly's house.
She is a little hilly, isn't she? I love Jennifer's hills.
She's also got some nice tits. Jennifer Tilly's house compared to this like old timey house is much more interesting to look at.
More personality, comparison. A little more gothic.
Yeah.
I also really like when you get into the third act, and you kind of spend the whole movie going like, I don't really get why he looks different. What happened to the scarred version of Chucky? Are we pretending those last two didn't exist? What's going on here? And then the moment.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Where the sister is in the attic with Chucky and sees a little something on his lip.
Yep.
And starts to pull back some wax or whatever it is. And you see the scar underneath and you go, I'll be goddamn.
Fucking covered it up.
They're just, this is the same Chucky. All of the movies have happened.
So good.
And then from there to the end, it just becomes like continuity porn almost, where it's just, it really starts running wild with like referencing this movie and that movie and connecting all these dots. And it really kind of does a really admirable job of fitting in with all five previous movies. Everybody's saying it's like a quasi-reboot. It's not. It's just a sequel. This is Child's Play 6.
Yeah. That seems really obvious to me.
But the writer describes it as a tonal reboot.
Okay.
Now that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
We're just making another, you know, a horror movie. And so I think it's cool. I think they very successfully steered the franchise sort of back on track while not discounting any of the previous movies.
They didn't need
to do a remake.
I think Seed of Chucky went too far in the comedy direction.
And this is a really great way of reining it back the other way.
This was scary again. Again, Bride of Chucky wasn't necessarily scary. It was suspenseful and clearly a horror movie with the gore and stuff. But I would say more of a slasher fic in that you're rooting for the people to die. Curse of Chucky brought it back, I think, to a horror genre where I'm nervous for the main character, you know,
right.
he's there, look around the corner, he's right there, don't die.
Yeah. But yeah, so best worst scene in Curse of Chucky.
Best scene is a tie for me. Number one would be the rat poison scene, the dinner scene, when you know that one bowl of soup.
And such a Chucky thing to do.
One bowl of soup had been poisoned, but we don't know whose it is. And the camera just going from person to person as they slowly slurp the soup. You're like, who is it? Who is it? Oh my God, who's going to die?
It's a great moment. Yeah, totally.
And then that's tied with the whole showing the mom is kidnapped and you see why she's obsessed with sunflowers, which you've seen in two other scenes earlier in the movie.
Right.
And that's why he was arrested. That's why the cops were coming after him. That's why I went to the toy store and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We got the whole story now.
Yeah.
Which was cool. Not, you know, a fantastic scene, just the idea.
Oh no, it's very satisfying as somebody that's been on board, you know, for the whole series.
Yeah. Worst scene. I'm going to say the lesbian stuff was a little unnecessary.
I've seen a lot of people singling that out as being really stupid. The reason I'm okay with it is because you are expecting the cliche
nanny and husband.
And that's what it looks like it's setting up to the point where you're like, you're almost kind of rolling your eyes. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. So that moment is a little like, yeah, you got me. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You got me.
Okay. Then I'm going to say the worst scene is at the very end, they do it again, where Chucky is like, he's injured, he's hurt, and she could very well kill him. Nika could very well kill him and doesn't, can't, or something.
Yeah. I don't know what I... God, best worst scene for me. I'm not sure. I mean, the best scene for me, again, I really... I don't know why. I just really love the you fucking should be moment. A lot of great death scenes in this one. It's kind of hard to pick one. I'm probably going to wish I had chosen something else later, but right now I'm going to say the worst scene. I wasn't such a fan of how the nanny went out. The electrocution.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Well, in terms of final thoughts, I was going to say we could do a quick round of who would you be, who would you F, but I'd feel like I was cheating on Donna and Carlos. Cheating with my wife. But so maybe instead, if you could, do you want to try ranking the movies?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's start with worst. Coming in at number 6, the worst is Seed of Chucky.
Okay.
Number 5 is going to be Child's Play 3.
Okay. No surprises so far.
No. Number 4 is going to be Child's Play 2. Number 3 is going to be Bride of Chucky.
Okay.
Then Curse of Chucky. Then Child's Play 1. Keep the original.
Okay. I'm so impressed you ranked the original over. I really thought you were going to like Bride of Chucky the best. As somebody who is not super familiar with the franchise.
I'm in the mood for a horror movie. It's Halloween, man. I want to see a horror
movie. I mean, I believe... Hey, no. I'm thrilled that you liked the first one. And I really am so happy you liked the newest one, too. I felt like... I thought like I was maybe going to be in the minority on like, that was a pretty good movie, right? I mean, I don't know if my expectations were really, I don't think it was that. I think it was just a very satisfying movie.
I actually, when you put that in, I was like, I'm prepared to hate this. I think this might be bad. I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay, good. My list, I don't know. I guess Seed of Chucky's definitely at the bottom, probably 3. I think my list probably looks exactly like yours, except I'm going to give... It's going to be a tie between Bride of Chucky and Curse of Chucky, which is crazy because they're such different movies.
Yeah.
But just in terms of my overall enjoyment of them.
Yeah. I can see that.
Okay, that's it for us. Subscribe on iTunes, like our Facebook page, to find out what we're looking at next. Let us know if you have any suggestions for other movies we should revisit, and we'll see you next time.